Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, in some ways, I think it's kind of poetic that we're starting with NL Rookie of the Year, because the last time we chatted, we also talked about Rookie of the Year about a month or so ago. At the time, I had just written a story for NLW.com saying that, hey, it was probably too early to have some minus odds favorites because, you know, players could make their, you know, season debut later in the year, and this could open up like Paul Skenes did as well. And now I wrote another story about NLW.com saying, well, pump your brakes here on the Mazeroski hype train, because this may be too late of a start for the Brewers pitcher, in my opinion. I look back at the last several Rookie of the Years, and basically Mazeroski's season debut being June 12th would be the latest start date for a Rookie of the Year winner since 2013 with Will Myers. And I think Will Myers, and like other people who have done it, have had the advantage of playing every single day, whereas pitchers are more at a disadvantage. And I think the latest start we've had in the last several decades has been about that mid-May start date with Paul Skenes and Jacob deGrom. So, and the reason why I bring all that up is because, yes, Mazeroski has been great, and he's off to a great start, and honestly, probably deserving favorite as it stands. But all it takes is maybe one or two bad starts, and this thing opens right back up, because pitchers' numbers can fluctuate really quickly, and pitchers themselves can have some blow-up games as well. So I think this thing is still wide open, and if anything, I think this has created some value. I do like Drake Baldwin the most in the NL Rookie of the Year market at a discounted value. He's going to play every day. He's already got the 2 WAR. I think you need about 4 WAR to win this market. So I think he's already at an advantage 50 games into the season. And all it takes is maybe one or two bad starts from Mazeroski. And I think this is going to be a competitive race down the stretch.
Well, I think I want to circle back to what you said about the late debut, because that's a really interesting point, because I want to talk about another pitcher who his odds absolutely crashed. We saw Chase Burns for the Reds before his debut. I mean, Shane, there were 25s, 30s, 20-1s out there on Chase Burns prior to his first start on Tuesday. And then now we're all the way down to 9-1. And honestly, that's a little bit longer because he starts his career, strikes out the side for the Yankees. And we all know what the Yankees lineup can do. He strikes out Aaron Judge and everyone's losing their minds. I mean, Chase Burns, I saw down to as low as 4 or 5-1. We've come back a little bit, but he got off to an even later start than Jacob Mazeroski. So this is a quick follow-up to what you said about that late debut. It's probably way too late for Chase Burns to make up this ground, right?
Yeah, and I obviously wouldn't say it's impossible, right? If anyone's going to do it, it's going to be a hard-throwing pitcher in this NL Rookie of the Year market, which has kind of been a little of a mediocre race, similar to the AL Rookie of the Year market was last year. So, you know, if there ever was a year where a later start debut could win a Rookie of the Year award, I think it is this NL Rookie of the Year. So certainly Mazeroski and Burns are very much in this mix. I just think that when it's all said and done, when you're looking at the season-long numbers and the WAR and maybe a couple bad starts from these pitchers, I think Drake Baldwin's going to have a pretty good case compared to the other two.
Are you a little bit worried about, because I agree with you, actually, and I think Drake Baldwin, the price has gone out. I mean, he was 2-1 2 weeks ago, and now he's all the way out to 4-1 all the way out, quote unquote, but the price has doubled. And what's interesting to me is that he's still, the Braves are doing this weird thing where they're committed to playing Sean Murphy seemingly 3-4 times a week sometimes, and they're paying him the money and they traded for him. So that makes a little bit of sense. But does that worry you at all that this is going to tank, not tank, but Drake Baldwin's going to take a hit here because the Braves aren't committing to an everyday role for him?
Very concerned, obviously. Yeah, I think that's why this thing is so competitive. And Mizorowski was able to take a quick lead after a few starts because, you know, yeah, like you said, Drake Baldwin hasn't been committed to by the Braves. I do think, I keep coming back to the kind of stuff like war matters when it comes to these voters. And him already being at 1.9 baseball reference war, I mean, that's going to matter. Luis Gil won this with 3.0 war last year. It does not take much in some of these mediocre races to win this award. So I do think he's going to play enough to get up to that 3 to maybe 4 range. And then that will probably be enough to win this award. But yeah, I mean, it's still very much an open race. So I don't want to say that it's Drake Baldwin or pass completely. I'm still keeping an eye on options all the way throughout the board.
I'm with you. I have my eyes on this. I am in on Augustin Ramirez from before the year, so fingers crossed on that one. Keep hitting home runs. But we mentioned the AL and you mentioned the race from last year. I want to switch to the American League really fast because we've seen some interesting line movement over the last couple of days. And Jacob Wilson, who you mentioned we talked about a month ago, he got all the way out to -1,000 in the American League Rookie of the Year race. And he's the leading vote getter at shortstop for the American League for the All-Star voting. So far, and granted it's a fan vote, and of course that you can kind of stuff the ballots a little bit, but he's leading right now and he's likely going to start at shortstop for the American League in the All-Star game, and Jeff Passan's writing columns about him. But all of that to say, the odds have shifted not in his favor. He's come back a little bit. He's -800 at BetMGM. I've seen as low, quote unquote, as -650 on Jacob Wilson. And part of that is Nick Kurtz has made kind of a push here over his last 20 games or so, 10 home runs in his last 20 games, hitting .300 over that span. You mentioned it's June 27th. There's still a lot of time, but Wilson's built himself a good amount of runway here. How do you view the American League Rookie of the Year market? Because Wilson's been struggling a little bit too. I might want to mention over his last 10 games, hitting about .185. Do you think this is just a blip on the radar for Jacob Wilson? He's still very much in the lead. And if you had to bet on somebody, or if you had to identify somebody that can maybe run him down, is it his teammate Nick Kurtz? Is it Jack Caglione, who has struggled to start his big league career? Or is it somebody else?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I do think it is. I mean, Jacob Wilson, obviously the odds are affected. This is his award to lose. This feels a lot like the National League Rookie of the Year market last year, where it was kind of top heavy. There were some bigger names. I mean, this is not a mediocre race like it is maybe in the National League. Jacob Wilson is really good, but there's also a lot of top end talent right behind him that I think could be in the mix if he slipped up. I'm going to assume that this little stretch that you're talking about is more of a blip on the radar. Again, pointing back to the season long numbers, when a guy is, you know, second in all of baseball and batting average, he's probably going to get the vote to win this award. If it was anybody, I think Nick Kurtz is a decent option as well as teammate. Jack Caglione, I think a lot of his odds are reflected based off the market interest in him. I mean, they've been betting him since he was in the minor league. So I think that is why you still see him very high up in the board as well. But I do think there's a lot of really talented names up here. I'm just not sure anyone has close to the resume that Jacob Wilson has kind of built up already this point in the season. So yeah, it's basically his award to lose at this point.
Talking, I want to zoom out a little bit and talk macro, just scene of Major League Baseball. The Tigers have the best record in baseball and they have been great, but how do you look at this team? They made their run in the playoffs last year, of course, but they've taken some hits in the rotation. Reese Olson's gone down. Jackson Jobe has gone down. Jack Flaherty's been largely ineffective for them. He's got an ERA over 4. And now we've kind of seen Tarik Skubal, his last couple of starts haven't been great. How do you look at the Tigers? Do you see them as a real World Series threat? Do you think they can get there? And do they need some reinforcements here at the trade deadline coming up in about a month too?
Well, I definitely think they need reinforcements at the trade deadline. That definitely would help their case as well. I do think the American League is so wide open in general that, like, it won't take a perfect team in this AL to emerge through. And then once you get to that one series, it doesn't really matter. That was kind of the theory behind this league going into the year. That's why they're, you know, and the more longer shots down the board like the Rangers and the Red Sox. But I do think the Tigers, you know, are very interesting in that respect. I mean, they are obviously the deserving favorites in the AL. Last year, it's a little bit different. It was Skubal and pitching chaos and a lineup that really did just enough. I feel like obviously it's been improved on that end as well. Pitching is still the pitching and or Skubal and pitching chaos a little bit to that degree. But, you know, in the playoffs, that kind of works a little bit more, especially if Skubal is at his form. So I think the Tigers are very interesting, probably even more so than they were last year. But it's definitely something, a market that I'm looking to explore kind of over the next couple of months to figure out which team I would prefer from a long shot standpoint.
Let's flip to the National League here really fast. And everybody's talking about the Giants. Everybody now, after the trade with Devers, they're the hot team. They're the team that everybody wants to bet on. But they haven't played great since that trade. They're 3-7 over their last 10. They've really fallen pretty far behind the Dodgers. They're now third in the division, 6.5 games back. They're in the playoff picture, of course. And this is more about the Dodgers finally starting to look like who maybe we thought they were before the year. But do you have any interest in the Giants? And they're a team that is interesting from a pitching standpoint because they have Logan Webb and Robbie Ray at the top, but now the lineup has the star and the Giants having a good season, maybe better than people were expecting. How do you evaluate this Giants team?
Yeah, the Giants are a team that interests me a lot in the sense of like when it's October, I'm over here just looking who's that get the best, you know, 1-2 starters and who's got the elite bullpen, and the Giants check kind of both boxes there. So they would be very interesting come October time. The problem is getting to October, right? You need the lineup to get you through kind of these dog days of the summer. And I'm still not quite convinced that they have enough to chase down some of this top end talent in the National League. I mean, when you really look at the National League landscape, you're already looking at maybe one or two playoff spots that are really open because of that standpoint. So you have to be, you know, almost perfect down the stretch to capture one of those last couple spots. And then you're looking at maybe a wild card route to the World Series. So I'm not sure how much better or worse their number really gets throughout the year. I think this is about to be where it is for the remainder of the year. And therefore, I'd rather just wait until I know they're closer to the playoff picture.
Are there any dark horses here, Shane, that you are looking at that maybe you have a little bit of interest in betting on? And I have a feeling I know what team you're going to say because we've all been banging our head about this team down in Texas all year long. But any dark horses that you're maybe trying to look at or you're waiting to bet on or that you think could be interesting down the stretch and once we get to the playoffs?
Oh, well, dark horse makes me think you were thinking maybe it was opening up to the AL and NL. And I would be open to more of the Rangers route as well in the AL if that's who we're referring to. But when we were on the National League standpoint, I was immediately thinking the team I really want to be in on is the Chicago Cubs. I mean, they have a really great offense. And I feel like they are going to be in the mix for the pitching reinforcements near the trade deadline. They're not a dark horse, obviously, because they're National League Central front runner. But, I mean, if they can really get into that buy conversation, I really think that opens up their path. You know, I saw a report that maybe they were in on the Seth Lugo trade talks with the Kansas City Royals just today. I mean, something like that would really help out this team a lot. And I would be a lot more in on their chances of maybe taking down the Dodgers in the National League heading into the World Series.
That is really interesting. I know Cubs fans are dying for reinforcements in that rotation. Just log on Twitter and you'll see that. Really quick, Shane, before we let you go, really appreciate the time as always, man. Want to hit you with an NBA question before we let you run here. Rookie of the Year is going to be really interesting. I think Cooper Flagg already minus 225, your favorite at BetMGM. People are naturally going to want to take shots. Anybody you're interested in just right now, immediately off the rip of the draft, just ended last night, obviously, but anybody that has your eye, whether it be from a price standpoint or a fit standpoint, any shots you're trying to take against Cooper Flagg in this market?
Yeah, if this price holds, Cooper Flagg would be the biggest preseason Rookie of the Year favorite ever since going back to 2007 in the NBA Rookie of the Year market. There have only been two minus odds favorites in Rookie of the Year. That's been Kevin Durant and Wembanyama. Important to remember that Wembanyama actually flipped to plus money and was not the favorite at some point during the season. That was Chet Holmgren. So my thought process going into the Rookie of the Year market is to take a guy that I think has similar upside that can maybe become the favorite at some point and then take a better price on Cooper Flagg down the road. And for me, that's stepping in front of the bullet here and taking Ace Bailey. If he plays for the Utah Jazz, obviously, everything they've said about in the scouting reports is that he has that top end talent and he can score at will. And this Jazz team actually has a lot of opening for him to, you know, create and get plenty of usage on a bad Jazz team. I think he's going to put up numbers. I don't know why he doesn't necessarily want to play there, if that is still going to be the case here in a couple of days. So I obviously want to wait to see out the situation, see if he does report to the Jazz camp. But I think he's in a good position to really just put up numbers. And rookie of the year voters really only care about numbers. They don't care about how good you are on or how good your team is. They just want to see the points, rebounds, and assists. And I think Ace Bailey has a chance to put up a lot of points, especially on this bad Utah Jazz team.
Shane Jackson at By Shane Jackson. You know him from BetMGM. Does really awesome work covering Major League Baseball and the NBA. Shane, really appreciate the insight. Appreciate everything you had for us today. And take care and have a good weekend, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Shane Jackson at By Shane Jackson from MGM. Really awesome stuff there on Major League Baseball and Rookie of the Year in both baseball and NBA. But now we go through the rest of the show. You know what it's going to be. We go to Major League Baseball and we close it here on this Friday. It's me. It's Jake Hassan. What am I going to do? Not talk about baseball? Please. Of course, we're going to get into that, but we will get to your comments, your questions, your bets as well at the BetMGM Network on YouTube, on Twitch, and on Twitter is where you can send all of those in, and we will get to those after I go through my bets. I know it's Friday, people. I know you're just hanging out in your cube in your home office, feed up, listening to me for whatever reason. And we appreciate your patronage here on the BetMGM Network. As always, thank you for helping me keep the lights on. Hardest working man on the network, by the way. But anyway, I digress. Send in your comments, send in your bets. Twitter, Twitch, YouTube at the BetMGM Network is where you can interact with the show, or follow me on Twitter and send me all of your comments, bets, rage bait, whatever you got at @Jake_Hassan on Twitter. There, I want to talk about Rookie of the Year really fast, solo dolo on my own, because Shane talked about some really interesting stuff. And you guys know I'm obsessed with National League and American League Rookie of the Year. I'm obsessed with these markets for as long as I've been on this network. I've talked about awards. It started really awesome with Gunnar Henderson a couple of years ago. Last year, not so fun with Paul Skeens and Luis Gil, but I do think there are some bets to be made. I do think that there are some interesting angles for these markets right now. And we talked with Shane Jackson, MGM. And if you missed that, you could always find it in the podcast form. Just search, send it in wherever you get your podcasts. And Shane's talking about Jacob Mizorowski in the National League side as your big favorite here, -155. And don't get me wrong, he's awesome. He has started his career with this scoreless inning streak. And like I said to Shane, not often do you walk away from a Paul Skeens game and you say, huh, somebody was better than Paul Skeens. Somebody had nastier stuff than Paul Skeens. And that was Jacob Mizorowski. And he's been really awesome. But like Shane was saying, this is a late start for him. And this would be the latest start for a Rookie of the Year winner since Will Myers almost a decade ago. And like Shane said, and I agree with him on this point, Will Myers was a position player. He was playing every single day, so he was able to rack up wins above replacement every single day. And granted, Will Myers had an awesome year. He hit the ground running. I believe he homered in his first game, his debut. It was either his first game or the first series. His first couple games, for sure. I remember that. I was a huge Will Myers guy. Will Myers is going to be one of those guys when you're sitting at a bar with your friends in like 10, 15 years, and you're just naming athletes randomly, and you go, Will Myers. And everyone's go, man, that's a good one. Will Myers then journeyman after he was with the Rays, and then he won with the Royals, and then the Padres, the Reds. I'm getting off track. Can you tell I liked Will Myers growing up? Anyway, I digress. Back to National League Rookie of the Year. I think that Drake Baldwin, the price is wrong. He's out to 4-1 now. This guy was 2-1 a week ago even. And I'm not saying that Jacob Mizorowski shouldn't be the favorite. He's a deserving favorite, but Drake Baldwin continues to play really well for the Atlanta Braves. He's like one of the only bright spots for that team next to Ronald Acuna Jr. And at 4-1, I think we've hashtag gone too far here. I think that he should be closer to a favorite with Mizorowski. Like Shane Jackson was saying, Mizorowski's gonna stumble at some point. It's just the nature of pitchers. He's going to be due, #due, for a bad start at some point. Not saying that he can't win and not saying that he's not awesome, but I just think that the price is a little wrong. There's a little bit of a discrepancy here between him and Drake Baldwin. I also still think Augustin Ramirez is a little bit interesting. I do kind of think he's worth a bet at 20-1 right now at BetMGM. All this guy does is hit home runs. It's just, he's got massive power, and the Marlins aren't going to bench him. He's the clear-cut best catcher on that team. So Augustin Ramirez, I do think, is worth a little bit of a sprinkle at 20-1, because I think, just think about it in your mind. when it comes down to it at the end of the year, who's probably the finalist? It's probably Mazurowski. It's probably Baldwin. And it's probably Ramirez. So he's going to be up there at the podium. He's going to be a finalist most likely. And at 20-1, I do think you can make yourself a nice little CLV sandwich and we probably all just suffocate and perish. But, you know, it'll be fun to root for the next 4 months. We'll see what happens. I do think that Mazurowski has been great. He probably is your deserving favorite, but Baldwin's right there and he's going to continue racking up war. And I think at 4-1, I think that is likely to come back. Matt Shaw, because I did get a tweet about this. Does this guy want to hit the baseball? Like, it started so good with Matt Shaw. He came out hot. He was hitting like 350 in the first week that he was up. He was stealing bases left and right, hit a home run in the first weekend series, and he's just disappeared. The guy's a ghost. Doesn't know the right end of the bat from the wrong one. I just don't know what's going on with this guy. Still great CLV, I guess. It started at 60. It's at 30, but it's going the wrong way, let me tell you. So that was a lot of fun. Really, really awesome. To the American League side, where we can also scream CLV until we're blue in the face and we just pass away. Jacob Wilson is starting to slip up a little bit. The odds have shifted. He was minus 1,000. Now he's minus 800, as low as minus 650. Nick Kurtz has been awesome. He's been crushing the baseball. Can we just get any signs of life from Jack Caglione? Please, another guy that just apparently doesn't know how to hit the baseball. Gets Dustin May today. Decent spot. We'll get to that when we get to my card here in just a little bit. But Jacob Wilson only hitting 185 over the last 10 games. Just saying. If anybody wants to make a push here and pretend like they want to be good at baseball, now would be the time, because Jacob Wilson looking a little bit vulnerable. I will get to the comments, the definitely not the betters box right now. B Mills, our regular, the only solo dolo in the definitely not a betters box. Shame to all of you. Shame. Ring the bell. But B Mills is here as always because he helps us keep the lights on. B Mills, oh no, I'm late. You're not late, my friend. You are exactly where you need to be. As the great Gandalf the Grey said, wizard is never early, nor is he late. He is exactly on time, exactly when he means to be. And that's what you are right now, B Mills. Maybe we could slip in one quick question. Absolutely. What do you think of Jake Irvin over 4.5 Ks against the Angels, who strike out a ton? I do like that look. I think it's a very low number at 4.5 for an Angels team that strikes out a ton at home. I think they're about 28% when they're at home. They strike out a lot. Irvin should be able to get that. He's not a strikeout artist, but if he goes deeper into the game, get 6 innings, I think you can get that 5 Ks. Not a bad look there, B Mills, with Jake Irvin over 4.5 Ks. Let's get to my card. Let's get to my bets. Everything that I have rolling for today. And we start with Mets and Pirates totals at 8.5. It is David Peterson versus Mitch Keller. And David Peterson is just going to be one of those guys that defies expectations, I guess. You watch him and it's not pretty and it's not sexy, but here we are. He's got a 2.98 ERA. And it helps that he goes against the Pirates today. So nothing officially for me. I wouldn't hate some Peterson, maybe outs recorded overs. Mitch Keller's been pitching pretty well as well. Well as well. Nice. Really good work, Jake. You only talk for a living. But Mitch Keller also trying to maybe boost his trade stock a little bit. So I think Mitch Keller, you could get a good game from him too. I do have a home run bet in this game, which we'll get to at the end of the show with the Jakey Rakes just for funsies home run play of the day. A's and Yankees totals at 8.5. Yankees minus 250 at home in the Bronx. A's 2-1 on the money line. This is going to be gross. Plug your nose. But at price, I'm rolling with the Athletics today. 2-1 is a price that is always going to catch my eye. But let's not pretend that Will Warren is Garrett Cole. Let's not act like Will Warren is the second coming of CC Sabathia. He's fine, but he's got a 4.66 ERA, and he's a fly ball merchant, and he gives up a lot of home runs. And especially in that park, I think he could be in for some trouble here. So at price, I like the A's at 2-1 on the money line. Mitch Spence has also been really good for the Athletics. He's got a 2.10 road ERA. He's been super solid ever since he re-entered the rotation. His last 4 starts, it's been pretty good. So I'll rock with the displaced athletics here. I'll go with them on the money line, 2-1. Let's take a shot here with that one. Rays and Orioles in Baltimore. Orioles, your home dogs, +115. Total is 8.5. Ryan Pepiot versus Tomoyuki Sugano. And I do have a bet in this game. I think the line is just right with the Rays. They're playing awesome baseball right now. I'll go Junior Caminero over 1.5 total bases. This is +110 at BetMGM. It's -125 at the Blue Book. So either you are getting a ton of hashtag value on this one. Junior Caminero over 1.5 total bases, slugging .681 over the last 2 weeks. And for whatever reason, this guy gets up against the Orioles. In his career, hits .370 when he goes against Baltimore. So Junior Caminero over 1.5 total bases there. BetMGM, your best price, +110. Sports born in Vegas, by the way, also title sponsor of this network and this here show. Send it in, by the way. Hosted by yours truly, Jay Kassan, taking it over until next Wednesday while PJ Glasser's on vacation. We continue. Twins and Tigers, totals at 8.5. Tigers -125. Shane Gibson Long against undecided for the Twins. I think the line is right. Gibson Long's nothing to write home about, but the Twins haven't even announced a starter yet. It could be me for all we know. So I'm not doing anything here. I'm not going to bet this game. I'm going to stay away. But the Tigers are probably a good parlay leg if you wanted to do that. Padres and Reds. Reds +115. Home dogs. Totals at 9. Dylan Cease and Nick Martinez. Cease has been getting torched on the road. Last couple times out has been not good for Dylan Cease either. Nick Martinez has actually been passable. Better at home than on the road. I'll take the Reds here on the first five money line. I don't want to mess with the bullpens, especially because the Padres bullpen has been nails. But first five, I think the Reds can get a couple against Cease. Give me Cincinnati on the first five money line. Cardinals and Guardians, totals 8.5. Guardians +110. Cardinals -130. Sonny Gray versus Luis Ortiz. Nothing for me. Just think this is right. Blue Jays and Red Sox. It is Jose Berrios and Brian Bayo. Was that a really good listening experience for all you guys right there, that last minute there? I hope it was. It was great for me. So anyway, I digress. This is just a puke spot. Only the over for me. These guys are both dying to give up runs. They walk the tightrope every single start, and they somehow get away with it. It's really good hitting weather in Boston, according to Sammy P. It's a great day out there. So I think it's just the over here. One of these guys is going to blow up. I don't want to try and pick who. Phillies and Braves. I like the Phillies. I refuse to live in a world where Bryce Elder is a -175 favorite. I refuse. It's just wrong. He's got a 4.77 ERA, for God's sake. I know the Phillies are on a 3-game losing streak. I think they snapped that today against their rivals. Nick Abel's shown flashes. He's a nice young pitcher with a lot of upside. He's actually been pretty good on the road as well. So give me the Phillies on the money line. Giants and White Sox. White Sox +135. Giants -160. Landon Roop versus Aaron Civale would only be the over for me. Landon Roop's fine. Aaron Civale was dying to be a starter to, I guess, just throw up a 5 ERA. Well done, my guy. Mariners and Rangers. Nathan Eovaldi, welcome back from the injured list. Logan Gilbert has been terrible on the road. He's got an ERA of almost 6. I'm going with the Rangers here. I know they can't hit, but I want to back Nasty Nate, even though it's his first start off the injured list for the Rangers. Cubs and Astros, nothing for me. I don't want to back Horton or Walter Barely-Knower. I don't know enough about these guys, and they're both just kind of mid. Rockies and Brewers, I'm not betting the Rockies, so... duh. Dodgers and Royals. Dustin May is not very good. Noah Cameron has been awesome for the Royals. So I'll take the Royals on the first five here as a dog. Dustin May has been serving him up. Would be awesome if Jack Caglione wanted to show signs of life in this one. Give me Kansas City on the first five.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin, but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.